Well, good morning. As I said, my name is Stephen Morris. I'm the campus pastor at our North Klein campus, and I'm excited to be with you guys today. Now, we're doing a series this summer. Oh, don't clap yet. No. We're doing a series this summer on Promise Keeper, right? All the promises of God as we look at them in Scripture. And so it should be an encouraging series as we look into God's Word at all of the things that He has promised to those that love and trust in Him, right? So every week we should leave encouraged with something new. I actually asked a few people this past week, if you could go to somebody and have them, like, be 100% guaranteed that they would come through on any promise they made to you, what would you ask them to promise you, right? So just think about that for a minute, right? If you could have anything guaranteed, what would you ask someone to promise you? Got something? All right, so when I went through it with a handful of people, all of the usual things came forward, right? I got a lot of responses for money, right? People say, hey, if somebody could promise me something, I need a little bit more money in my life, right? I get it, understand that. Some people said, and I thought this was really interesting, some said, hey, if I could have anything promised to me, I would want some quality, good, godly friendships in my life, right? I just want stronger and deeper community through relationships, and I totally understand that. As well, I asked a few other people, and they said, hey, if anything could be promised to me, I would love to have a Dairy Queen Blizzard whenever I wanted it, right? I asked all ages. Those were my kids, by the way, right? That's what they wanted, okay? But here's the deal. If you think about this, all of these answers and responses, and probably the ones that you have in your mind as well, are all items that theoretically would improve our day-to-day life, right? The quality of life day in and day out. Now, as we go to God's Word this morning, we're going to see a promise from God that I believe will have a far greater impact on our daily lives than any one of those. God promises us in His Word that we can have peace in our minds and in our hearts. And not only that we can have peace, God promises that His peace will stand guard at our minds and our hearts so that the worries of this world cannot bring us into a state of anxiousness, right? That's an amazing promise available to every one of us as a follower of Jesus. If you've got your Bible, open with me to Philippians chapter 4. And as you're turning, I just want you to think about how your daily life changes as you embrace this promise of peace, right? The constant worry that you might wrestle with, the unsettledness that might be there in your mind or your heart, the sleepless nights where you are awake worrying and wondering about what's going to happen. According to God's promise, all of that is banished from your life. And then it can't break back in because according to God's promise here, He is guarding the door. It's amazing. It's a fantastic promise, and I'm thankful for it. Because as we look at the state of our world, it's very clear that there are a lot of souls that need the peace of God. A study a few years ago claimed that 65% of adults in North America take some form of medication every day to help them with stress, anxiety, and worry in their life. And this isn't just a problem for adults. I read a book a few weeks ago. If you're a parent or a grandparent, if you know kids, it's a fantastic read. It's called The Anxious Generation, and it's looking at this lack of peace across our culture. It states in that book, since 2010, in elementary, middle, and high school-aged girls, anxiety is up 145%. Same ages in boys, up 161%. In young adults, up 139%. In newlyweds, 103%. And in median and senior adults, levels of anxiety in people's lives is up 52%. So to say that God's promise of peace wouldn't be a welcomed change in the hearts of many is to ignore the internal struggle that so many people face day in and day out. 40 million adults, when polled, would say that their lives are described by anxiety, not by God's peace. And that word anxious, it means to be pulled in different directions. The word worry, it comes from a word that means to choke or to strangle. And that's just a perfect picture of how so many people are feeling. Pulled apart in a lot of different directions, almost like they're having trouble holding it together, right? That feeling is the opposite of God's promise of peace. So let's look together, right? And our prayer as we look at God's promise is that His promise would become the reality of our lives. Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and seen and heard in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you." Now, I'm not sure if one word stood out more than another in those verses, but my favorite word in there, and the one that's promised, it just jumps off the page to me. It's peace, right? It's clearly promised by God. It's something that we all need. We need it in our minds. We need it in our hearts. It's something that we all want. But reality says, just looking at our world, at the end of the day, it eludes the hearts and minds of so many people that seek it. Right, peace isn't a word that many people would use to describe their mental state, their emotional state, or the day-to-day state of their lives. But these verses tell us it could be. These verses tell us, they promise us that peace is possible, that it's real, and that it's for us. Look at verse 7. "Even in the worst of the worst, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." Verse 9 tells us that the peace of God will be with us. I want that peace in my life. I want it in my heart. I want it in my mind. I want it to define my life. And I don't have to ask. I know that you do too. And so the question is how? Right? How do we take the peace of God, the promise of the peace of God, off the page here and let it be what really fills our hearts? How do we take the peace of God, the promise of the peace of God, off the pages of Scripture and allow it to be what rules our minds? How do we become so filled with the peace of God that even when things are crazy around us, we have this peace that passes all understanding? It's a great question, and the answer is right there in Philippians chapter 4. If you look at it with me, you're going to notice there's three commands here, right? God tells us, hey, do these three things, and the end result is the promise of God's peace. So here we go. Number one, to live in peace, God's word tells us, don't worry about anything, right? Just don't worry about it. And many of you look exactly like they looked at North Climb last week. You sort of rolled your eyes a little bit and thought, okay, right, don't worry about it. It's a little bit more complicated than that. Every time I hear the phrase, don't worry, I think about the Lion King. Hakuna Matata, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You don't have to worry. I'm not going to sing it this morning. But the first command here is don't worry. Look at verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything. So Paul, our writer here, he's writing to a group of people just like us, right? A church family. He's writing to a group of believers whose day-to-day lives are full of things that could cause them to worry. Real issues, real problems, real scenarios, real sickness, real challenges, right? Real situations in their family. And he tells them, hey, listen, guys, don't worry. Settle down. He's saying, stop letting the concerns of this world be what takes over your minds and your hearts. He's saying, don't live in a constant state of worry. Look at verse 6 again. It's written in the present tense. So he's writing to them saying, hey, listen, stop doing what I know you are in the habit of doing. And so for me and you today, right, as we read this, if anxious thoughts or this pattern of constant worry is what dominates our thought habit, our heart habit, God's word is telling us here, stop. Stop doing what you're in the habit of doing. And listen, I understand this, and you probably do too, but let's just clarify. Hey, God's word's not saying when an emergency pops up, look at the emergency and don't worry about it and move on with your life. Our bodies are wired to respond to emergency, right? Our thoughts, our adrenaline, we get into this fight or flight mode and we jump in and we handle what's right in front of us. You've heard those stories about a mom lifting a car or a heavy thing up off of her kids, something that they wouldn't normally be able to do, but their body is wired by God to respond in a state of emergency. God's word says here, just don't live in that state. Don't live in the state of emergency. Don't live in this constant fight or flight mode. Don't live worrying and wondering about what is going to happen next that's going to cause you to jump into action. Listen, to constantly worry is to live as if God isn't really in control. To constantly worry is to doubt the goodness of God. To constantly worry is to doubt the power of God. To constantly worry is to doubt the plan of God in your life and in your family. Listen, as we read here, and as we read in other places throughout the Bible, we see that the worry is a sin, and we shouldn't worry any more than we should gossip or envy or covet or commit sexual sin or anything else. God's word here says, do not worry. It's not good for us. You might read it and think, this is just too simple. You might think, well, Paul, our writer here, he wouldn't understand the worries of the year 2024. He wouldn't understand the heavy burdens that you might be carrying around. You might read this and be tempted to think that your situation is so unique, that your struggles are so unique, that you are elevated or you're put into this different category where you're allowed to worry, even though the scripture is commanding us not to. If you're tempted to think that way, let me just give you some context here. Paul, the writer, he's writing this letter from a prison. Paul doesn't know if he's going to live or die in this prison. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him the day after he's done writing the letter in this prison. Paul's a man that's been threatened, he's been beaten, he's been run out of town. He's always dealing with a different issue or trouble or struggle in the churches that he is a part of. He's hated by many people for his faith. He's got to wrestle with and deal with a past where in his past he killed many people. He put many innocent people in prison. He disrupted and destroyed a lot of families. He's got to carry that with him around every corner in every city he goes to. He knows there's someone that wants to see him in prison or see him put to death. Listen, if there's anyone that's ever lived a high stress, high trouble, high worry, high anxiety life, it's him. If there's anyone that should have been able to live in a constant state of worry, it would have been him. But he wrote, don't be anxious about anything. Because he understood that worry doesn't solve our problems. It only creates more. Have you ever been on WebMD? If you haven't, don't go to it. You'll be worried about everything, right? But if you get on WebMD and type in stress or worry and begin to see what it does to your body, you're going to think that you're watching a commercial from some new medication that lists all those different side effects, right? If you look at WebMD and just type in worry or stress, here's the health issues that come from it. Heart issues, high blood pressure, fatigue, headaches, tension, nausea, shortness of breath, and much, much more. Why? Well, it's because that constant worry, it's like this weight that we just carry it around. And no one can see it, but we feel it. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of people that probably carry that weight really, really well. You carry that weight of worry and stress and anxiety. You don't let other people see what's going on. That they might not have any idea that you feel the way you do. But I'm just telling you, if you're lugging that around, that worry, that stress, that anxiety, it's hurting you. And it's not doing anything to solve the issues of your life. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart. Look at what Jesus says about it. Matthew 6:25. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about your body or what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 27, can any one of you add a single hour to your life by worrying? Jesus says, don't worry. He says it's not going to solve any problem. Again, constant worry is the opposite of trusting God. And so as Paul writes here in Philippians, he's quoting Jesus. He's reminding us that Jesus is with us whenever we face what may cause us to worry. Look at verse 5, Philippians 4, 5, the verse right before where we started. It says, the Lord is near. That means literally that the Lord is close to us as believers, right? We know that he lives within us. So you could paraphrase these couple of verses together and just say this, don't worry because God is literally with you. Whatever has you worked up, whatever you're facing, when it finally happens, guess who's going to be there? God's going to be right there with you. When you go to the doctor this week, you're not walking into that office alone. When you go into that job interview, and man, your family really needs it, you're not walking in by yourself. When whatever that next payment comes due, God's with you. That situation with your kids or your grandkids, a family member, man, when it happens, when you confront it, you're not doing it alone. God's right there with you. That conversation that you've got to have with your spouse, I'm telling you, God's word says that you're not going to face any of that alone. So that first command tells us don't worry about anything. Instead, to live in peace, look at the second command, verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So don't worry about anything. Number 2 is pray about everything, right? Don't worry. Instead, pray. And I want you to see this as a replacement. Right? Because when we worry, we give our worries and concerns a lot of our energy and focus and attention, right? A lot of that mental power, it's going towards our worry. This says replace it, right? Replace that time, that energy, that mental power, the thoughts that you have with worry. Instead, replace it with intentional conversation with God. That's what prayer is, right? So when those thoughts of worry begin to get stirred up in your heart, intentionally make the effort. Stop yourself and pray. I love the way Craig Groeschel says it. He says, anxiety is a signal alerting you that it is time to pray. Peace comes to us through prayer. Look at the verse. What do we pray about? It doesn't just say pray about the big things or the little things or the easy things or the hard things. No, we're supposed to pray about everything. And not to be dramatic and not to overstate it, in any way, but we're never going to understand just how major an impact prayer plays in our day-to-day lives. It matters more than we could ever possibly hope to comprehend. Billy Graham, right? If you think about Billy Graham, greatest evangelist of all time, he said, if I could live my life again, the one thing that he would change, the one thing that he would do over again, is to spend more time in prayer. Tim Keller, great author, great pastor, an apologist in New York City. He did a lot to spread the gospel of Jesus in New York, and God used his ministry around the world. Before he died, I heard him in a podcast, and he said, if I could go back and tell my 18-year-old self one thing, think about that. If you could go back and tell your 18-year-old self one thing. He didn't say how to go back and tell my 18-year-old self to buy Bitcoin when it becomes a thing. He didn't say that. He said, if I could look my 18-year-old self in the face and make him understand anything, I would say prayer matters far more than you think it does. Over the course of your life, prayer will matter far more than you could ever think it does. D.A. Carson said this, I have yet to meet a chronic worrier that enjoys an excellent prayer life. Think about how convicting that is. I've yet to meet a chronic worrier that enjoys an excellent prayer life. It's a convicting statement because I know that when I get overwhelmed with worry, I've let my mind and heart go the wrong way. I've let my mind and heart focus on the problem and not on God. Listen, when we worry, what we're doing is we're making our problems huge and our God small. We're losing perspective. And as followers of Jesus, we can't do that. Right? Well, we have to approach these issues in our life with a biblical worldview. We have to approach these situations in our life with an eternal perspective. These verses right here say, stop worrying and instead replace that energy and focus in your life with prayer. Stop worrying, start praying. And when we do that, we flip things back. We begin to live our lives and face our problems with that biblical worldview now, with that eternal perspective, right? When we pray, we're making our God big and our problems small. So pray in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Talk to God about what's going on in your life. Talk to God about your challenges and your struggles. Talk to God about the real and serious issues that you're facing. Nowhere in here, nowhere in this letter of Philippians, and nowhere in God's word are our problems diminished or dismissed. They're fully acknowledged here. And we're told that as we face them, and instead of worrying about them, begin to pray about them. And when we do, when we make that replacement, we stop this unhealthy cycle of worry. And we replace it with this conversation now, with the only one that holds us and our problems right there in the palm of his hand. So rather than thinking about what if this happens, or I'm nervous about this happening, or I'm scared that this might happen in the future, near or far, rather than wondering what if, instead take that energy and focus it on God. And that replacement changes everything, because when we pray, we're reminded how big God is, and in comparison, how small even our serious problems really are. Let me just ask a question this morning, because the stats are what they are. Knowing that worry and anxiety are real issues for many people in our culture today, how often are you spending intentional time in prayer? Make this about you. Make this personal this morning. Don't think about other people's prayer life. Think about yours. How often are you spending intentional time in prayer before our Heavenly Father, talking with Him about all the issues that are going on in your life day by day? Remember D.A. Carson. I've yet to meet a chronic worrier that enjoys an excellent prayer life. Peace comes through being in God's presence, through time and prayer. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. God's word. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. I think too often we get it backwards, right? There's a lot of times we run around worrying about everything and praying about nothing. But we can't do that, right? Prayer matters. Peace is promised when we go before God in prayer, right? Prayer is relationship. Prayer is engaging God. It's talking to God. It's talking with God. Prayer is sharing our cares and concerns with God. Prayer is listening to God in those quiet, still moments, waiting for Him to speak to us, right? There's nothing too big, nothing too small. Prayer is just simply sharing those concerns that are on our hearts and mind. I have three sons, three boys, and the youngest just turned 8. So they're getting a little older now. But when they were younger, prayer time at our house was interesting to say the least. You just never knew what was going to come out of their mouths, because we told them to do what we see here in the scripture. We just told them to pray what's on your heart. Pray what you're thinking about. Pray what you're worried about. Pray. Just talk to God about whatever's here and whatever's here, and they would, right? So they would thank God for friends, and they would thank God for family members, and they would thank God for the different plants in our yard. They thank God for the grass in our yard. They would thank God for America's Funniest Home Videos, because we would watch that together when they were littler. That they would thank God for anything. My youngest, I've mentioned, he turned 8 a few weeks ago, and so we had a prayer time over him the night of his 8th birthday, and the same instructions applied, right? We just told our kids to thank God for things about him that you really loved, and one of the older brothers said, God, we thank you that when we hit Will too hard in the backyard, he doesn't run inside and tell on us, but he's tough, and instead he gets up and continues to play, right? They're sharing what's on their heart, right? That's where their mind was. We've heard them pray about other things too, and we hear what they're scared of. And we've heard them pray for sick friends. They're facing pretty tough diagnosis. You know, we've heard their prayers as we've lost loved ones and friends due to accidents or illnesses. We've heard them talk to God about that. And as they do, and we get this glimpse into their hearts and their minds, we see what's going on there as they're sharing it to God. And my question is that happening between you and your Heavenly Father? Is He hearing the concerns of your heart? Is He hearing the things that have captured your mind, your attention? Is He hearing the things that have you scared, that have you frustrated, that have you worried, that have you anxious? You lifting those up to Him? Or are you holding on to Him and letting them weigh you down? God's word here says pray about everything. And I want to be very clear about this promise in Philippians 4. The verses certainly do not promise that the problems go away with prayer. Right, but they do promise that when we give our worries or anxieties to God, we can have peace in the midst of our problem. Remember the context. Paul's in prison. He didn't say don't worry about everything and immediately get freed from prison. The people receiving the letter, many of them are poor. Many of them have been displaced from their homes. Many of them are facing physical and spiritual attacks every single day because of their faith in Jesus. Those problems didn't go away right away, right? God's promises aren't material possessions and earthly treasure, right? God's promises here are much, much deeper, much more important, much greater. God's promising here His peace and His presence. Look at verse 6 again. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Expressing our requests to God. Expressing our anxieties and our concerns to God. It acknowledges, right, our dependence on Him. It realigns our hearts. It helps us understand that at the end of the day, we aren't in control of the things that bring us that anxiety or worry. Ultimately, God is. Right? When we pray, the focus comes off of us and it goes on to God. Pray about everything. Let me just ask you, if that's not your current pattern, right? If you don't have an intentional prayer life right now, what's going to be different tomorrow? Right, that the last thing any of us want to do is hear and go before God's word and leave, right? Well, without changing some of the things that we need to change. So if prayer is not your pattern, what's going to make it your pattern tomorrow? Now, I would encourage you, right? Just commit right now. Go before the Lord and say, you know, Lord, it's not my pattern. And I know that it needs to be. Your word tells me to pray about everything. So just think right now. Lean to your spouse. Write it down on a note. Well, whatever you need to do, think about your life and your prayer life starting this afternoon, starting tomorrow. Are you going to wake up early and carve out a little time to pray? Are you going to carve out time to pray, but before you go to bed every night? Are you going to carve out that time on your lunch break or when your kid is taking a nap later on in the afternoon? What is it going to look like for you? Because God's word tells us to pray about everything. Keep a journal right now on the list, right? Things that you need to be praying about, and then commit to praying about all of the things that are going on in your life. And peace comes when we do that. When we do what God's word says, worry about nothing, pray about everything, and then finally, there's one third command here. We see that the peace comes when, number three, we think about the right things. Look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, what do? We think about those things. Right? Prayer puts eyes and hearts on Jesus, and that's great because that's going to begin to influence and train our minds to think about the things of Jesus. Listen, what we think matters, and it matters way more than we think. If we want the peace of God, to be what rules our minds and hearts, we've got to fill our minds and hearts with the things of God. Look at the list, the things that are honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent. If there is anything worthy of praise, right, that's the list. That should be what's in our minds and in our hearts. So let me just ask, is that what you're filling your minds and hearts with? Think about it. The books you're reading, the things that you're watching on TV or on Netflix or wherever you watch, the media you're consuming on social media, on your phone, on the internet, are they reflecting this list? All of those influences, right, are they worthy of praise? Are your thoughts worthy of praise? They need to be. That's what we're commanded to do. That's how we're commanded to think. I remember an illustration years ago. I don't remember who said it originally, but it always stuck with me. And this guy described our minds, right? Our minds are airports. Have you heard this before? Our minds are airports, and the thoughts that come into our minds are airplanes, right? And these thoughts, these airplanes are coming in from all over, right? That there's all kinds of thoughts that fly into our mind. And we get to act as what? As the air traffic controllers. So we have a say in what thoughts land and what thoughts have to keep going. And so as we think about these things right here, that means when thoughts of stress or worry or anxiety or doubt, right, things that are impure, things that aren't excellent, thoughts that are not worthy of praise, when they fly into our mind, wherever they come from, whether it's another person or something we see online or something that we watch on TV or just seeds of doubt, when that flies into our mind as the air traffic controller, we don't let them land. We don't let them unload their baggage into our minds and hearts. We tell them to keep going. And when those godly thoughts come, those excellent, pure, lovely, commendable, praiseworthy thoughts come into our mind, we let them touch down. We let them land and fill the runways, fill the airports of our minds. We let those bags unload into our hearts and into our minds. And God's Word says that when we do that, when we think about the right things, that the peace of God is with us. And as we do that, as we train our minds, as we do what God's Word says and take every thought captive, you're going to notice that you have fewer and fewer negative thoughts, that you have fewer and fewer ungodly thoughts, because what we've done is we've retrained our minds to think biblically, to think along God's Word here, what is good and what is holy. And to do that, we have to be wise with what we are filling our minds with. Listen, it's no secret. We all want peace in our minds and hearts. As we look around our world, what we know that anxiety and worry are major issues in our culture. But understand, anxiety and worry and problems and stress and trouble, they were major issues 2,000 years ago when this was written. God loved those people in Philippi. God wanted them to live lives ruled by His peace. And God loves us as well, right? Wants us to live according to His peace. That's why His promise to us is peace. And according to Philippians 4, every one of us can have it, right? God's promise of peace becomes our reality when we worry about nothing, pray about everything, and think about the right thing. So this morning, take God at His word. Let His peace fill your heart and mind. Let His peace guard your heart and mind in a way that keeps the anxieties of this world out. Would you pray with me this morning? I want to encourage you just to bow your heads where you're sitting today. I want you to think about God's promise of peace and how it's for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, that promise of peace and God's presence in your life is promised for you this morning. So if you're living in that state of peace, if you'd say, you know what, my heart and mind, It could be characterized, right? It could be defined by the peace of God. If you're there, thank God for His promise this morning. Thank God for the peace that you experience day in and day out. But if you would say this morning, you know, well, that's not me. I would not describe my heart as a peaceful heart. I would not describe my mind as a mind filled with peace. I would not describe my life with the peace of God right now. Would you just take a second and tell Him why? Would you ask Him to help you this morning? Capture your thoughts? And when you begin to feel stressed or worried or anxious, would you just ask Him to help you replace that with prayer? Would you ask him to help you be intentional in your prayer life so that you could enjoy the peace that he's promised? And understand that that peace comes through relationship with him. So if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, that's your first step. Trusting in Jesus as your Savior. Let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. Listen, I know that there's people in here today walking through incredibly challenging seasons. That was true for the people of Philippi. It's true for the people of Jersey Village and Houston, Texas, and Spring, Texas, and Klein. It's true for all of us. So if you're here this morning and you're walking through a season and you want someone to pray with you about it, we'd be honored to. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. And when we do, that's your invitation to come and pray with one of our pastors or prayer partners down here at the front. If you've got something going on in your life and we can pray with you or for you, if you're ready to trust Christ, if you're ready to get baptized, you want to join our church family, when we stand and sing, I want to encourage you to come pray with one of us this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your promise of peace. Not something that we have to earn or work for, God. Something that you promised to give. Help us to trust you, to go to you. God, we just pray that our lives would be marked and defined by your peace. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me now? Our prayer partners are here. As we worship, if you want to pray, we're here.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.